Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I miss being here this morning. I was over with my friend, Brother Power, and Brother Jerry Power, Jr., pastors over in Hearst, and they were having a special day for him, celebrating his 50th birthday, and so they asked me to come and preach, so I tried to do that and had a good time with them, but I miss being here, and so it's good to be back tonight, and I'm glad Brother Dunbar was here this morning to take care of everything and preached, and so nobody complained, so Brother, you must have done all right, okay? And so I'm glad of that. Romans chapter 11, if you would. Won't you look at one verse where the Bible says in verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. And Lord, help me as I preach. And Lord, help us look at the word of God, see the truth of it. And Lord, really and truly, cause us to look for you to come again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I heard somebody say one time years ago that if you want evidence of the truth of the Bible, you don't need a long argument. All you need is to look at one thing, and that's the Jew. The Jew. Because what God has done for the Jewish people is proof that the Bible's true and the Bible's real, all right? I mean, all through the Word of God, way back yonder, beginning in Genesis, with the account of Abraham, and especially there in chapter 12, where God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And he said, the day will come, said that your people will be like the sand of the seashore. They'll be like the stars in the sky for number. And, you know, and everything that's happened to the Jew, there's no people as a group that have been hated and despised more than the Jewish people. More than the Jewish people. And but yet God's done exactly what he said he would do for them. But today we live in a day of heresy. You say, well, what's new? Nothing. There was heresy in the days of Paul, all right? When he was on the earth, there have been heretics, I believe, since time began. Some of them worshiped idols. That was a heresy. Others of them just had the wrong doctrine. And so we still run into that thing. It's amazing to me how so many people, and when I say people, I think of preachers and leaders and speakers, that they're always just in a huff to find something new in the Bible. And they're always looking for something nobody else has ever found, nobody else has ever seen, and they want to do it. And they seem to be they're not content until they can teach or they can preach something that has never been heard before. Now, folks like that, watch out for them, okay? Watch out for them. There's an old saying that's true, it's still right. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. You know, you can just go through the Word of God trying to scrap up something new, but the truth of the matter is if you could look and go far enough, you'd find somebody else already seen it. And now, I find things in the Bible all the time. They're new to me, but they're not new. They've been there the whole time, you know, and God just reveals them to me. But we live in a day where people are just always seeming looking for something new. And there is in this day a heresy that has arisen, in the last 15, 20 years, maybe something like that, and maybe a little longer than that. But it's a thing called replacement theology, all right? And I don't know if you've heard anything about replacement theology, but two guys that are, I say they're well-known, but I'll say their names and most of y'all go, who? One of them is Harold Camping. You ever heard of him? Harold Camping. Brother Dunbar's wagging his head. My brother said, yeah. Everybody else looking at me with a blank stare. Well, it's okay if you've never heard of them. Because they're messed up, all right? And the other one is a guy, he's more famous, he's Steven Anderson. And these fellows push this doctrine and that is called replacement theology. Now, I want to tell you, it's a heresy. It's just simply wrong. Just simply wrong. And what it does is it pushes the thought and the idea, and their doctrine says that the church today has replaced Israel in the Bible. And all the promises that God has given to Israel has been transferred over to the church, and basically God's through with Israel. Well, I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit out of chapter 11, and I want to preach to you on the subject, God's not through with the Jew, all right? God is not through with the doctrine with the Jewish people. Now, that kind of doctrine may give you a bit of fame with the unlearned and the ignorant. I'm going to tell you, real Bible believers no different, all right? And we see it right here in the Scripture. Notice that first question right there in Romans 11, verse 1. Paul said, hath God cast away his people? Hath God cast away his people? And then he says, God forbid, and he gives his testimony. He said, I just want you to know, look right here. And Paul said, look right here, look at me. I'm a testimony to the fact God's not cast off his people. He hadn't done it because he said, I'm the evidence that God hasn't cast them away. Notice what he says there. He said, I'm an Israelite. He said, I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. You mark her down. He said, I'm one of them, all right? I've been there. I know it, and I'm part of them. But he said, God hadn't cast us off. As a matter of fact, Paul's testimony was, God didn't cast me off, but he took me up on the road to Damascus. Amen. He spoke to me. He revealed himself to me. And I found out who God was, and the Lord dealt with my heart. And Paul got saved that day on the road to Damascus. He has never changed. He is never the same after that. But God did a work in his heart. And he's saying to everybody, he said, do you think God's cast away his people? He said, what about me? So I'm living testimony. He's not, because I'm one of those Jewish people. I'm one of those that are his people. I come from the stock of Benjamin. He said, we trace back to Abraham. He's our father. We're his seed, no doubt about it. But it doesn't just end there. I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. You're familiar with that account from over in the Old Testament. Man, God had taken Elijah and used him to just ring out a great victory against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Now, it's a story. I think most everybody here would remember the story of how Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he got in front of all the people, and he said, hey, we're just going to have a contest. And if God's God, we'll follow him. If Baal's God, we'll follow him. And we know how he set up the altars, and he said, okay, fellas, y'all go first. And he said, I'll just let you go first, and you pray and see if your God can bring down fire from heaven. Go ahead. And he gave them the first opportunity, gave them the long time to do it, and then finally, after he had mocked them and made fun, and that he wouldn't be famous. Elijah wouldn't be accepted today because he made fun of that crowd. But Elijah made it real plain. He said, you guys ain't got it, and your God's out somewhere else. Or he's asleep. And finally he said, that's enough. He said, let's fix this thing. Rebuilt the altar, put the offering on it, doused it with water until, man, it soaked it down. It filled up the ditch he had dug around the altar. You go back in your Bible, and he prayed a 67-word prayer, and God sent fire from heaven. Man, you think, here you are in a victory like that. But, boys, the next day, Elijah's running for his life. Old Jezebel got after him. She said, I'm going to make you just like those prophets of Baal. And said, you're going to regret this. And so they went out and went to it. And they had a time. Here's old Elijah. He's running. He's a little bit discouraged and, you know, distraught. And he gets there in verse 3 and he said, I am left alone and they seek my life. But you look at verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? He said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Paul's testimony was, first of all, God hadn't cast off his people, because I'm here as testimony to it. Said God hadn't cast off his people. He said in the day of Elijah, Elijah thought he was done. Elijah thought it was over. There's nobody left but him. But God said to him, no, don't get excited. I've got 7,000 more. There's more than just you. He said, there's that remnant. even in that day of wickedness and idol worship, where the majority of the people had turned their back on God, God said, I've still got a remnant. He said, I hadn't turned my back on them. Then if you'll look at verse 5. Verse 5, he said, even so then, but this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and the ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Hey, Paul says, still got testimony I want to talk to you about. God hasn't written off the Jew. He's not through with the Jew. He said, the truth of the matter is, I've got the testimony of present time. And he says there in verse 5, he said, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. The grace of God. Even in Paul's day, Paul let it be known that right here, right now, there were still Jews getting saved. Still Jews getting saved. Man, it wasn't an uncommon thing. There were Jewish believers then. Can I say this to you? There's still Jewish believers today. There's still Jewish believers today. Yep, for the most part, the eyes of the Jewish people are blinded. They were blinded in that day. They could not see the truth. They could not hear it and grasp it. Well, the truth is, they, as a nation, remain blinded today. But the fact that some Jews still get saved. Some Jews still get saved. So what's that testimony of the grace of God? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that he's still not cast off his people. They're still getting saved. Still being saved. So we've got the testimony of Paul. We've got the testimony of Elijah. We've got the testimony of the present day in Paul's day, and we transfer it and look at it today. But that's not all. Look at verse 11. We've got in verse 11, the Bible says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. God says, hey, I'm working, all right? We got the testimony of Scripture. They've not fallen to be cast off and forgotten, but what has happened, he says there, is that rather salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Why? To provoke those Jews to jealousy. That's why. Look at verse 16. Look, if you will, at verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, that first fruits there, and that root that it's talking about there, that goes all the way back under to God and the promises that he gave Abraham. And he gave to the patriarchs. The promise he gave to Abraham, he repeated to Isaac. And that promise he repeated to Isaac, he repeated to Jacob. He repeated to them. He passed that along down the line. They were the first fruits, all right? They were the root of the promise that were given by God that I'm going to take care of you. You're my people, and you're going to be my people. But then we get in that verse 16, we see not only the root, but it talks about the branches, all right? It talks about the lump, all right? The lump. Or the olive tree, if you will, represents the nation of Israel. Interesting thing about an olive tree, you take an olive tree, it'll pretty much grow in any climate. You take that olive tree and you cut it or you burn it, and it'll bring forth new shoots. It just keeps coming back. It's one of those trees. I don't know if you ever dealt with a willow tree, but if you have dealings with a willow tree, you cut it down, and not long, boy, here they come, up more willow shoots, all right? And you can cut them down and they'll come back, all right? Well, the Bible talking about that old olive tree that represents the nation of Israel, it's been scarred, it's been cut down, but it keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. You want to read something that's interesting, you sit down and begin to read the history of the Jews. History of the Jewish people. Starting with what's in the Word of God and then read the secular history, what's happened to them. Man, and the pogroms that were started against them. We usually, you think of people against the Jews. Now we think of the Nazis in Germany. But I'll tell you, it's not just them. Not just them. We're reading a book now that talking about some of that stuff and how during the war, during World War II, they knew, countries around the world knew what was being happened, what was being done to the Jews. They knew they were being exterminated. But some of the countries that could have taken them said, wait a minute, we don't want to take them, so what are we going to do with all of them? And they let them be exterminated. They let Hitler kill 6 million plus of them, all right? And we live in a day today where people think that never happened. Never happened. Even though we've got the testimony of people that survived it. We've got the tattoos still on their arm that they were given in those death camps. People say it didn't happen. Well, it did happen. But God said, you know what? They're my people. They're my people. Then look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Hey, those broken branches represent unbelieving Jews. There's a lot of them today. If you go to Israel, most of the Jewish people in Israel are not religious Jews. They're secular people. Secular people. They're not religious Jews. And there are some that are there. But boy, they're unbelievers. All right? They're unbelievers. But the Bible said they were replaced by that wild olive tree. They were grafted in by the grace of God. That's us, the Gentiles. We got in on that deal. And today we enjoy the blessings and promises of God through the grace that is through Jesus Christ. Does that mean God's written off his people? No, that just means he's let us in on a good deal. He just let us in on a good deal. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, how can you be sure that's it? Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part, now it's in part because still Jews getting saved. But he said blindness in part has happened to Israel. But look at that next phrase. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Boy, what a promise. What a promise. Look in Luke chapter 21, would you? Luke chapter 20, and don't lose your place here in Romans, but Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Just a verse there that I want you to see. Luke chapter 21, down in verse 24. Luke 21, verse 24. The Bible said, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Hey, just like it says over there, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Hey, there is a certain amount of time, there is a time slot that falls to the Gentile people. The world, you say, who's that? Pretty much everybody's not a Jew, all right? And there they are. And the Bible says they're going to have their time. It's coming a time when Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles, but he said their time's going to end. Their time's going to end. In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul said that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What's the Bible saying? The Bible's saying, look yonder to the future. There's the prophecy of the future. And with that, can I say it's real hard to me for somebody to misunderstand when we have verse 26. Yes, when the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. That day's coming. That day's coming. Look in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, would you? Here it's just the Word of God, and people today look at it. How in the world people today look at it and think, well, God's through with the Jew? Man, your Bible doesn't read the way mine does then, all right? In Revelation chapter 7, if you will, look at verse 3. And he said verse 2, we'll start there. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Can I just point out to you, that's not church members?
No, sir. No.
That's not groups in churches.
No.
That's not church organizations.
No.
Man, God, they're plainly Jews the Bible's talking about. He said, here's the tribe they're from. Now, if I were to ask you, what tribe are you from, what would you say? Well, some of you say, well, I've got a little bit of, I guess we'd have to call it Native American blood in us now. And, so I guess I'm of this tribe. No, hey, listen, scripture there in Revelation 7. The Bible said we're going to seal 144,000 Jews. Now, we got today the Jehovah's false witness that claim that's going to be them. My question is, okay, exactly which tribe are you part of, buddy? Which tribe? You're not out any tribe. And today there's a lot more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witness. I guess it's the best Jehovah's Witness that'll be those 144,000. Hey, can I say to you, this is the promise of God. It is the promise of God. God said all Israel's going to be saved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, when the Lord returns, and before he returns, in that time known as tribulation period, God's sending two witnesses to his people, and the Bible said all Israel's going to be saved. That nation's going to be saved. That nation's going to be born in a day in the sense of born again. They're God's promises. Would you look back in Romans 11, all right? There's a word I want you to see in verse 27. There's a word I want you to see in verse 27. But we're going to read beginning in verse 26 again. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. My covenant unto them. Hey, he made a covenant with Abraham. Won't ask you, when did that get canceled? When did that get canceled? He made a covenant with Isaac. When did that get canceled? He made a covenant with Jacob. Who canceled that? The Bible tells us here, this is my covenant unto them. He said, what? When I shall take away their sin. What's the covenant? The whole nation's going to be saved. That is his covenant. His covenant. Can I say this to you? The promises of God don't have an expiration date. Promises of God don't have an expiration date. God's promised you can get saved if you'll call on him. That promise will not expire until the rapture. Then the Bible talks about folks that'd rather believe a lie than believe the truth. But you hear me, God's promises don't have an expiration date. But here's the problem. I want you to back up. We skipped some verses. I want you to look at verse 18. I want you to look at verse 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee.
Amen.
Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear.
Amen.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fail, severity, but toward them goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, boy. He's not done with the Jew. He's not through with the Jew. But you mess around just enough on God, and God will be through with you. God, I believe it with all my heart. We Gentiles have nothing to boast of. We've got nothing to go around and crow about, all right? There's nothing that we're to go around. One of the things that bothers me the most about athletics in our day, it started in professional athletics, and it's winding its way down all the way to the school level, is that crowd that likes to beat their chest and say, "Did you see what I did? Like I've conquered the world." Hey, you be careful about boasting. You be careful about bragging, all right? You and I, we've got nothing to boast of. Salvation's still of the Jews. There's a Savior, but He's a Jew. He's a Jew. He came. He was a Jewish man, and He came, and He went to the cross, and He died for us. He was that God-man. Salvation's still of the Jews. Gentiles still remain indebted to the Jews. You want to do something that'll entertain you sometime. You got time to fool around. Get on the computer and check out the things that have been done by Jewish people. You check out how many Jewish people have won the Nobel Prize. Who actually deserved it, all right? Amen. I'm talking about the Nobel Prize in medicine. Not the artificial one like they gave to Yasser Arafat, for peace. Man, he didn't create any peace. He created the opposite. But check it out. You'll find so many of them, so many of those things that are there, they were come up with by the Jewish people. And we today, the whole world, is beneficiaries of all of that. Hey, we've got nothing. The Jewish nation has lost their spiritual privileges for a time because of their unbelief. But you and I run this risk if we think we can get cocky and think, well, hey, we're all right. We've got it now. We're grafted in. We're going to heaven. Have you ever noticed how easily people go into apostasy? Amen. We live in a time, boy, where churches that used to stand for the truth are now in apostasy. Right. Now in apostasy. We're talking about what we might refer to as denominations of churches. Hey, there was a time when the Methodist Church preached the Word of God. Yes, people were saved. They got saved there. It's tough to find the Methodist Church today preaching enough gospel somebody could get saved. We could go on, we could say the same thing about the Presbyterians. We could go on, we could go on. Hey, the truth of the matter is we can move over to the Baptists today. And so many of us, they've gone into apostasy. I'll tell you, if that happens, you'll not be spared. You'll not be spared. The question is simple tonight. Have you appropriated that grace of God, first of all, for your own salvation? Be appropriate to that. Hey, are you trying to claim for yourself something that belongs to somebody else? God made some promises to the Jew. That promise to the Jew, it doesn't belong to me. Hey, there's a land over yonder at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. God gave it to the Jew. He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to the Arabs. He didn't give it to the Iranians, the Afghans. He didn't give it to the Syrians. He didn't give it to the Lebanese. He gave it to the Jew. And you mark it down, one of these days they're going to have that land. So what are you and I to do? Not to boast. But what we ought to do is rejoice. We ought to rejoice tonight over the grace of God that God's bestowed upon us and everything that He's done for us and everything He's done with us and through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're at Thanksgiving season. Boy, just sit back and begin to think how good God's been. What a blessing it is that we got in on salvation. What a blessing it is that God extended that grace to every man. What a blessing it is that you and I, sitting here 2,000 years after the Lord Jesus Christ came, can still take His book, find the promise, keep the promise, and He'll give us the benefit for that if we'll just serve Him. Oh, what a blessing. Is He through with the Jew? No. I think He's closer to being through with a lot of people today than He is with the Jew. He's closer to being through with a lot of people today than He is with His people. Hey, you know what? I don't want Him to be through with me. Corinthians, Paul said, I don't want to be put on the shelf. Me either. Man, I don't want to tempt God to where he'd say, I'm done with you. I'll stick you on the shelf. I don't mean by that you're going to hell. But I mean he's through. Won't use you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen to you. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that we find in the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that those covenants you've made way back yonder with Abraham, Lord, before he ever got to the promised land, you told him, I've got a place for you. Lord, you made a covenant with him. That covenant extended to his folks that would come after him, his descendants, Lord. And Lord, today, they're still those people that we know as the Jewish people. Lord, you're not through with them. And we'd not try to take their place. Lord, we're just so glad you've done for us what you've done. Lord, would you help us to live for you? Would you help us to serve you? And Lord, use the truth of the Word of God to change our lives, change our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, you let God take with you. Use your life and move with you. Don't get in that position where he writes you off because of your unbelief. And be careful about following people that come up with, hey, I got something new. Watch out. Watch out. God bless you. Glad you're here tonight. You're dismissed.